Blog Talk Radio.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul, if it takes all night long. The evening sun is sinking low. The clock on the wall says it's time to go. I got my plans, and I got plans for you. I'll tell you all exactly what we're all gonna do. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Why is it 12 o'clock and it might be 3? Time doesn't mean that much to me. Ain't felt as good since I don't know when. Don't know when I'm gonna feel this way again.
So come on, get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Might be 6 o'clock, it might be 8. It don't matter that it's getting late. We're gonna make the band play one more song. Get in the groove if it takes all night long.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Hello, everyone. Happy Friday. I hope everyone had a wonderful week, and I hope you have a great weekend to follow. Hey, Laurent. I'm aboard.
Good evening. Hello. Good evening.
Lots of quiet tonight. Might just... That's an awful lot of you talking.
Well, surely you're not going to let me talk by myself. Oh. I think I know you better than that.
I don't know. I don't know how much I'll have to say. You never know with me. All depends.
Maybe sit here and spout outrageous theories.
Well, not really. Just never know what I have to say. Sometimes things just don't, like, come to fruition from my brains and my mouth. But it's all right. I try. So anyway,
Yep, happy Friday to you, too. It's going to be one of those quiet Fridays, but that's all right. I'm sure we can keep ourselves amused.
Well, it depends how many times we mute ourselves. We could really keep the party going with that.
True.
Yeah, so I don't know. There's not a whole lot happening in my life. How about yours?
Well, there's
always something we're talking about.
I did some gardening today, or anti-gardening, if you will. I did some laundry. I did some cooking. I did some banking. And I had to run a store, get a few bills. And I had to fix a couple of appliances. So I had my little busy day.
There you go. I did, like, nothing. I mean, piddly stuff.
Well, let's call it like we see it. You are an expert, an absolute whiz at the art of doing nothing, if you wish to.
Well, thank you so kindly for those wonderful words. Really?
No, some people do nothing poorly. You do nothing very well, that's all.
Okay. Thanks. Nothing like a boost of confidence, boy, I'll tell you. Anyway, there's not much.
Here's a boost. On that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we won't have Thomas with us tonight. And Thomas, you will be missed. I just want to let you know. But thanks for letting us know. And I hope you have a great day tomorrow and a good weekend. At least you stopped in and said, hey, you know, I won't be around. I thought that was nice of you.
I thought it was very nice.
Yes. So I'm trying to think, what else is happening here? Not much. Not much at all. Just one of those quiet party atmospheres, I guess. Maybe. If not, who knows? But,
so we got some.
What were you going to say?
It slipped my mind already. That's how unimportant it was.
Okay.
I think I have to say something along the lines of, I think we've got some very good talk today.
Yes, I think so, too. I think so as well. We have some carryovers from Tuesday. We have some carryovers from my last Wednesday. We have carryovers that have carryovers.
Let me see. We're right on the edge of Halloween week, right?
Yes, we are. And next week is Halloween week. And I hope people will come and celebrate it a little bit with us. Everyone's got their own theme happening. And it should be some fun.
You know, every show is doing a Halloween theme of some kind, right?
Yep. One sort or another. And then, as we end Halloween week, we will be doing, never mind. I'm not going to say anything because, you know, I'm going to keep it kind of quiet for now. What's he saying? You better watch your mouth, Rex. I don't know what that means. Do you know what that means?
I have no clue.
Oh. That's okay.
But I have a feeling we will get, we're going to get a translation.
You're doing shooting. Yep. I don't know what that second word is, but it says leave something.
I think the third word is something about a wish.
No,
leave something. Dante. Mm-hmm.
Fire. Leave fire. Hope you have. I don't know. That's the lousy translation I got for it. But it's something. Well, the fire was right then, if it's Dante. See? Well, Rex, if you want to call in, just me and Laurent. Might be that way, too. Hey. Is that what that says? No, that is not what it says.
I was actually going to guess that's what it was, but it would have been a blind guess, so I checked out.
That's nothing like what Google Translate said. I can tell you that one. Hey, Budo. Good to see you. I give up all hope as you enter. Well, there's three translations. Pretty good. Pretty good. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my, my. Well, I guess we should get some of this started. I don't know for sure. Kind of having some fun with the room. Yeah, lucky. There you go. Nothing wrong with that. Okay, Laurent, I'm going to put up your classic poem. See what happens.
Yeah. And look, I do not know Dickinson well at all, okay? And if I pick a poem, it's well known, and everybody knows it, I apologize for that. But gold is not the dying so. Not that dying hurts so, his living hurts more. But dying is a different way, a kind behind the door. The southern custom of the bird, that ere the frosts are due, accepts a better latitude. We are the birds that stay. The shrivers round the world, for whose we buck from, we stipulate till pitying snows fade our feathers home. And I like the poem. It seemed positive in its way. I think I read it may not have been a poem that was published in a I'm not entirely sure.
No, I don't know.
I liked it. It was short, punchy, nice lines, and something to say. And it reminds me of another poem. I can't for the life of me think of it, but that isn't very positive.
Yeah. Look, Sapphire Rose is buying drinks. Yes. At the risk of seeming greedy, I'll take a double. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Yes, read Bubba.
Now, are you an Emily Dickinson fan?
I like what I've read of Emily Dickinson. I have heard that she can be... the things I know of her light, are pretty lighthearted. Although I have heard she can be somewhat dark. And I find, I find that to be interesting. I don't know a whole lot of her work. I mean, it's been ages since I read any of of what I have read. It's been a long time. Pretty interesting. You know, there was one, something about the moon that I had read many, many moons ago. Someone had shared it with me, and I thought that was pretty interesting. Hey, Frank, it was something about, I don't know, it was something about the moon. It went on about, I think the color of her cheeks and I think the hat she wore, something like that. It was a pretty interesting piece, and I really did enjoy that. This piece was nice. I mean, it was, to me, it was a little solemn, you know, but sometimes solemn fits. It all just depends on what day it is. So I cannot say otherwise. Yes. But, nice piece. Let me see if I can find that other one.
Well, I guess I was out to you.
You did who? I'm sorry.
I said that brings us now to you.
I know. I said I was going to look for something. I think that wasn't going to last long. Yeah. I'm going to get out of there. Hell, it wasn't that important.
You said
just so you know, you're breaking up a bit. Just so you know. Every so many words
you
cut out.
Number of SoundCloud tonight, right?
Yes, we do. We have 5. Yeah, they're good like that. Let me see what I have here. I'm going to start out on the top of the list. And I'm going to read this one. And we'll get there. And this is "Too Holy No" by Victoria Frost. Maybe I can read it. "I do not tend to bask in the warmth of your body or even memorize your scent. Meticulously document each bead of sweat glistening on your skin. I do not wish to wear your mask where your teeth grazed my flesh, cultivated it into a garden of goosebumps, and harvested my moans. Nor do I choose to recall the taste of your lips, the tactile tattoos drawn upon my nerves, from hands that have scoured my body to learn each pleasure point. Rather, with each hushed breath, I hope to excavate your ego, marinate within the inner workings of your mind, and spend each second infused within your spirit." End poem.
Well, that's nice. Thanks. And Victoria, as usual, has written a nice piece. The title of "The Holy." And we have a poem in which she is going to wholly know you. She says, "Excavate ego," which I find a rather interesting phrase. Speaks of a buried ego, one that she will unbury and bring out into the open, thereby resurrecting the spirit. And when she offers to marinate within the inner workings of your mind and spend each second infused in your spirit, well, is the way to wholly know someone. She by telling how she is not going, "I do not intend to bask in your body or even memorize your scent," and saying what she will not do. Of course, she reveals what she will eventually do. So I thought it was a clever piece. Well read.
Thank you. I think Victoria hit a winner with this one. You know, it's not about the superficiality of, you know, just a flesh, you know, a thought to the flesh. You know, it's more about, I want to get to know you from the inside out. I want to know your mind. I want to know your thoughts. I want to know, you know, all of that. And I think that's a wonderful, actually the wonderful way to get to know someone. It's not just about, you know, the touch and, you know, not that there's a bad side to those, but they're not really what's all important. Because we all know that the flesh gives out. There you are. Better have someone you like to talk to. That's the way I see it. So, but definitely a great write. And thank you, Victoria, very much for entering that contest for us. Excellent. I shouldn't have said excellent. Nobody called in yet. See how they all are, Laurent? Yeah.
Well, if you have people who are a little tongue-tied, they've never been on the radio before.
Okay. I thought I saw those bashful people in the audience. Okay. Next one I have is for you, Laurent. So whenever you're ready.
Mm-hmm. Eric and Marcus Slayer. Sprightly spruce needle, clear a truce, tightened pattern, pretty woven, stretched and etched, cleared trunks, sonorous sentinels, upwards, touchstone, heavenly infinity, periscopes, senses. Lady in red's laughter echoes through his song, bursts forth with bright poinsettia balm, flowers from above solar plexus, elf mischievous frivolity ricochets, bounces off buxom's trunks, Colorado Boys, Art Gifts, Triple Beats, Heiress of Happiness, Holland, That Is a Blue, Separated, Two Lives Rooted. She studies at the Sorbonne. He worked acres of spruce park, high school graduation, potentiality, purified Colorado air, crisp and cold, cold, high out vertigo, to pass Coco Chanel dreams, movable feast, Paris intrigue, educated Rita in finery and can-can, cluttered cobblestone, Montparnasse, walk along the sand, dimmed not, but stroke the ache, touched like a virgin the very first time. His voice boomed cannonballs of happiness. Madonna determined, she responded with gusto. Verb of Vivaldi, walks down timeless corridors. Colorado girl, back home for Christmas. Breathed in his musky scent between raucous laughter. Eggnog bound to her mistletoe. The petite mall, apartment lockdown. Colorado tenacity, glowed bright red in dexterous wounds. Daddy's girl. Persevered, nutcrack determined. With panache, she carried. Purified Colorado air, crisp and cold, fought like a long lost bird. Sleigh ride, in sentinels. Unlocked and unmasked, like a vort. Elf peepaboo. Wise owl blinks blessings. Sprightly spruce needle declare Aida's victory. Tight-knit pattern that woven by destiny wins the day. And
nice read, Lauren. I think Eric did a great job with this. There's a lot of great imagery throughout. Wonderful, loving thoughts. Clever lines, you know. I think that it really, I got to say, when I looked at this at first, I'm like, why is he giving me like something that I put to Christmas and I'm like, why? And I went, don't mean it's a pre-write contest. I started laughing because it just threw me for a second, like, wait a minute, why is he writing Christmas stuff? But definitely a beautifully written piece. And great thoughts throughout. Yeah, I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, but this, I like the storyline. Here we have the Colorado boy's part that gets triple beat. He's obviously swept off his feet by this girl. But she doesn't stick around. Daddy's girl bloomed remote, separated by the Atlantic. He in France, Albon, he working the trees in the forests of Colorado, some wonderful descriptive passages bouncing back and forth in purified Colorado air, crisp and cold, cold. And then we have the movable feast, Hemingway's Paris intrigued. We have the can-can, we have Montparnasse, we have her time in France. And, of course, it kind of ping-pongs back to the point when she comes home for Christmas. And she remembers he sent and laughed. And the small garret apartment lockdown is nice. It's all death, lockdown, talk about tenacity. You know, he is not going to come. She is not going to come. And together, they're going to outlast the lockdown and become a couple. I am sure it's loving for all that it doesn't actually say how much he perceives the other. It's a very loving poem. All through it are small phrases in line that indicate they do together. It's a great piece, isn't it?
Yes, yes, yes. Hey, you know, I keep thinking, I just remembered something that I keep forgetting, which is terrible. It's not that I keep forgetting. I keep waiting where we can touch base with Victoria in public so we can, you know, announce the winners of the Golden Leaf contest.
Oh, yeah.
And we have not been so fortunate as to catch up with one another as of yet. But I feel that everybody, you know, needs to know who won and that our winners need to be acknowledged. And this is for the gathering of the Golden Leaves. And this is all about the participation within the group. And just so everybody is aware, first prize went to Thomas B. He won the 3 months of gold membership. And Kel Smiles won second place for 2 months of gold membership. And M. Gettles, Martha Gettles, won third place, which was 1 month of gold membership. And I, you know, I wanted to congratulate them and let everyone know that they did win the top three spots. And I think it was just wonderful. You know, there was a lot involved with figuring who was going to win. And these three really put in a lot of time between SoundClouds calling in, writing poetry for the contest, just so much. And, yeah, they were really faithful. And they were well-deserved wins. And I think Victoria and I were talking the other day. We have something else coming up for December. But I'm not going to spill the beans yet. Soon, but not yet. So anyway, I'm just glad that everybody, I finally got it out there who did win. If anyone wants to go and look, I did post it under the mega contest posting that I put under my name. I went in search of the topic board, but you know, that's long buried. So, I was like, well, maybe another day. So anyway, I just feel better that everybody knows. I think that they did a wonderful job. And with that, I'm going to read the next one by Julie Buck. Well, this was for last Tuesday's show, so I'm kind of glad to read it. I really enjoyed that poetry last Tuesday. Not that I didn't enjoy Wednesdays, but I really enjoyed Tuesday. This is called From Hurts Yet to Be by Julie Buck. I knew I should have let the day carry me its way. I knew I should have saved some of my yesterdays for today. Pardon me while I do a little resurrecting. I know you swim there in the shallow end, and I'm usually way off in the deep. Rarely, though, are we ever on the same wave. I understand you think left and I think right. I know you live there at your self-righteous house, but I live here where we know forgiveness. And where no one is better than anyone else. Conflict, screaming, somewhere, confirming our failures. Why won't you look at me? Eternity blasts from my belly like a swarm of lucky ladybugs, bringing balance, hindsight, and patience. And the burst from he comes in lavender colors. My body is lifted, spirit gifted. So that breath and sins wait for me. I am the sainted master of hurts yet to be. And I'm meeting heaven today. How I wished I had tied up my blues. Regret. That would never happen if I could. Only once. Only once both sides to every bruise. And home.
Nice read, Julie. And a very nice break, Julie Buck. I like her style. And she goes, she gives us a selection of couplets, single lines, and tercets, which is pleasant because it allows for a lot of emphasis, not sticking to the same formula all the way through. I'm impressed with, pardon me while I do a little rhetoric. I know you swim there, and I'm usually way off in the deep. Rarely, though, are we ever on the same wave, and I like the wave metaphor. I understand you think left, and I think right, and that talks to right wave, and sometimes you break with it, Sometimes you break light with it. And Julie's description of somebody who lives in a self-righteous house versus someone who lives in a house where we know forgiveness, where no one is better than anyone else. And the italics on what she believes and on what she observes. She asked, why don't you look at me? The next great line of this is, eternity blasts from my belly like a swarm of lucky ladybugs. Now there's a vision for you. And bringing out her quality, the balance, the hindsight, the patience. And the lines, and he burst from me, comes in lavender colors, strangely worded, but it works. I'm hurt yet to be. It's a great poem, but goes on inside of someone who is in love with someone and may not be making headway. He wants to. What do you think about this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is a great piece. And I want to say it again. I'm not sure if you're hearing me, but I know you're really breaking up kind of bad. Every so many words you're cutting out. Either that or every so many words my ears are cutting out. So I just wanted to let you know in case there was something, you know, that made me...
Well, the only thing I can think of doing is calling back. So why don't I do that real quick?
I guess. I mean, I'm not real sure what to, you know, suggest. But, Julie, I really enjoyed this very much. I can kind of point out exactly the same things that Laurent did, but I thought it was a very well-done piece. I thought it was well-written and well-expressed, definitely. I kind of liked where you were coming from, and I could kind of go with the whole thought process of this, and I thought that was pretty intriguing to me. Just really well said. I knew I should have let the day carry me its way. I knew I should have saved some of my yesterdays for today. How many times have we all kind of thought, oh, wow, you know, maybe not exactly those words, but something similar, you know. Pardon me while I do a little resurrecting. Just, I don't know, I just really liked it a lot, and I think that your wording was really great. So, you know, thanks for sharing that with us. I liked it, and I thought it really, it went well with the image. You know, it was a great reflection of that, and yes, so awesome work. Definitely awesome work. Okay. Welcome back, Laurent.
Thank you. Is this any better?
Sounds better. Sounds nice and clear. And with us, we have, see, you went away when they multiplied. We have Rex with us. So, hello, Rex. Welcome.
Hello,
to the party.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Rex.
Good evening.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Too funny. Yeah, so. Did you hear Julie's piece, Rex?
Did I do who?
No, I didn't say did you do who. I said, did you hear Julie's piece? We're getting
No, I had to shut the radio off to clear, but let me go read it real quick.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, if you want, that's good. Oh, my goodness. So, but I really liked it. I think Julie did a good job. It was pretty relatable in a lot of ways. I'm not quite sure if it was just me or if it was just that, contrived, but that's not what I wanted to say. God. You know, I don't know, just well put together that it was that relatable for everybody. Yes, hello, Naomi. Welcome to the party. Oh, my. Let me see. Where am I going next? I have to skip that one until later tonight. If I do.
Nice piece.
This one that's... You like that? I thought it was nice. I think Laurent liked it.
Yeah, it has that nice hint of regret that runs through it, and that which holds the fallacy between two people, and how the offering of thoughts somehow don't intermesh after a while. And there is a note of regret that runs through it. But I like the back end of this where, and the burst from he comes in lavender colors. My body is lifted, spirit gifted. Know that breath and sin wait for me. I am the sainted master of earth yet to be. And I'm meeting heaven today. How I wish I'd tied up my blues. Regret would seldom ever happen if I could only notice both sides to every breeze. Well, that kind of hits on the notion there are always three sides to every story. Yours, mine, and the truth. And that always lies somewhere in between. So,
yeah.
Talk about compromise. And you don't compromise, then you end up on one side or the other, and it's never pretty.
Right, right. So I think that the name of the image that she used was her joys and sorrows. At least that's what I found down here in the author's notes, and I believe that was the title of the piece. And I thought, she kind of summed that up too, pulled it in. And I don't know, she pulled it in and made it very relatable, I think, in a lot of ways. So, clever stuff. Clever stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, kids, I'm going to do the next one. I'm going to put up is Martha Gettle. I have a SoundCloud for her. And that'll keep me going down the list. So let me start that up.
Meeting in the Middle by Martha Gettle. You and I don't always get along. You can think you're right when I know you're wrong. Sometimes, baby, you just can't see what to me is as plain as it can be. But, darling, when I look in your eyes, there I see the need to compromise. And I reach out and take your hand, and the answer we both understand. That's when we meet in the middle. It's like finding the answer to a riddle. We stand up strong and tall, and in the middle we work our way through it all. Baby, you know, we don't always agree, and we can get in a fight, you and me. But when our love is on the line, we meet in the middle every time. That's when we meet in the middle. It's like finding the answer to a riddle. We stand up strong and tall, and in the middle, we work our way through it all. Yes, the middle is the answer for you and me. Darling, it's as plain as it can be. We may not always see eye to eye, but in the middle, we'll get it right.
Thank you, Martha. Classy SoundCloud. Nice production. Nice read. Nice song, actually. Hey, Rex, at some point, you're going to have to give us a song.
It's kind of funny that this fits the comment I just did on Julie's, whereas Julie was looking at that need and self-realization to that which is. This one kind of walks its way through that self-realization and understanding in to begin with. Even with the thoughts for the infighting and all, they still understand the need of compromise and how that fits them both well. Even with their understanding, yeah, you're wrong, and I know it, but you know what? You don't push the boundaries too far, and that gives you plenty of ground to come together in a way that makes things work on both sides without ever calling one wrong and one right.
Amen. There are times when you don't want to be right, but you can't afford to be right because of being right and without bending, or you can lose what you have. Cleverly written all the way through the need to compromise, and she knows that they're never going to always agree. But when love is on the line, you're going to find that middle every time. I like the sentiments expressed in this. It's well put together. Gina, how did you like this? Are you unmuted, Donovan?
Are you mutating?
Oh, I am. Surprised. It was a surprise to me, too. You know, I thought it was lyrical and well said. You know, when push comes to shove, that's when you got two choices. You either pull together or you pull apart. And, you know, if the choice is to stay together, then you make it work. So no matter how tough it gets, you know, you make it happen. And so I thought it was well said. And I thought it was a nice job, Martha. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Nice job. Definitely. Hey, we got another caller. I don't recognize this number, so this should be interesting. Hello, area code
418. Hi, you're going to learn it Monday, 418.
Yay.
Hello.
That's funny. Oh, so listen, Naomi, did you happen to hear Martha's
and the way she composed that, that's amazing. It's real, it's really real, because in love and relationships, you always have that moment where, those moments where, you know, nothing goes along smoothly all the time, and you have to find that middle, that compromise, and it speaks of, you know, real life relationships. So just wonderful, right, Martha?
Yeah, I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. Laurent, you commented on that, right?
Yes, I did, and now it's Rex's turn.
Okay. I thought Rex did. I thought we were heading off for me to get another one, but I wasn't talking.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
I could be wrong. Yeah. Okie doke. So let me, Rex, I have one for you to read, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Melt by Daniel Bishino. A single snowflake as a tear of winter's beginning falls hopeful into my open hand to melt before I can ponder its unique pattern. As a raindrop instant, clear, pure, and transparent, it would dance in the light with prismatic kaleidoscope wonder and capture the essence of starshine. And my fiery hand, like Satan's pitchfork, which it sought nothing but solace and peace, was not cold enough to just accept. I remember the gentle descent of which it fell, and I wish I had a trace of harmonious white and a reflection of thoughts on this reflective of worlds, the blue of our veins in remembrance of the vast blue from which we came, the rainbow of humanity's skin that shines at rainbow's end as when a storm does pass, the red of all blood in the fragility of life, as is the rose that picks to hasten, will defend with thorns and blood and rose petals will miss. The black in the depths of our eyes, as the black void of color parched and thirsty to absorb. And in the white that surrounds us, the black empty focus, is the harmony and family of colors united, protects our emptiness as the sun and its light. Let my eyes be free, and the colors of perception melt into the starlight of birth and home.
Well read. Nice job. Well, Naomi, it's your turn. You begin the contest.
Yeah. Wow. What a beautiful write. I love how he starts out with the fragility of the snowflake, and then he goes into, you know, the rose and its thorns, and he uses nature all through, and to, I get the sentiment of, you know, of how fragile life can be, and our world can be, and you know, and our own vision, ourselves, you know, our perceptions, our joy, our happiness, you know, how it can be taken away. That's what I read into it, but it's an awesome poem, beautifully written. Like, there's phrases in here there that, wow, you know, it just speaks to you, and it's really deep, this write. So wow, Daniel, what a write, bravo.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, there's a lot of great quotable lines in this piece. And Rebecca,
a reflection of humanity in general. You open up that first stanza, a single snowflake as a tear of winter beginning. There's a nice touch of purity, almost birthed in that moment. Those first two stanzas hit on that. And then that third stanza offers up a very different point of view. And my fiery hand, like Satan's pitchfork, which it sought nothing but solace and peace, was not cold enough to just accept. There's the idea of gaining something within life, and it turns a little bit ugly, but also kind of hints at that notion of wanting that essence of purity to still be alive enough to view and ponder on it. Then he goes back to the thought, the remembrance, and the harmonious white. And again, and a reflection of thought on this reflective of worlds, there's a turning point to which everything hits on the note of color that comes from there, the blue, the red, the pain that comes within that angle. Again, the blue of our veins, that which pumps through the black in the depths of our eyes, kind of hits on that note of that which sits within the embodiment of us. If we let it overtake, then the color gets parched, and there's that need of thirst to absorb that color. And the back end of this holds back again. Let my eyes be free, and the colors of perception melt. Goes again to a Martin Luther King speech, so to speak. I want my children to grow up in a world where they are judged not by the content of the color of their skin, but the content of their humanity or their heart, so to speak. And that is the back end of this, the need to humanity open up their eyes and see that which is actually going on and that which they are helping to proliferate instead of transcend.
I'm sorry, what?
I asked if you were on mute. That was all. Okay. Well, I'm not sure if you answered that or not. Because you went.
You want me on mute?
No. I asked if you were on mute.
No.
And then all of a sudden you said something, and then you went completely quiet.
I think I went, I think I was probably fell asleep for about 10 seconds, sorry.
That's okay, just trying to figure out where we stand.
Yeah, it's been a bad day for meds. Been a bad day for meds. I had to take more than my normal quantity, and they do make me sleepy, so I apologize. I'm trying not to let that happen again.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Those are your comments. No biggie. but it's your comments. It was your turn.
Yeah, I'm looking at the note by Daniel DeCino right now. Is that the one we're commenting on?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I like this piece, especially the wording in the lines like, the rainbow of humanity's skin that shines at a rainbow's end is when a storm does pass. The red of all blood and the fragility of life, as is the rose, pick too hasty to defend thorns and bud and rose petals will mix. It's really nice. It has a kind of dreamlike quality, on decorations, witches, and it's beautifully done. I like the open with single snowflake, as all snowflakes are unique, but as many things do, melt away before one can really ponder. As she says, it's unique pattern. Beautifully written piece. And
absolutely.
I've lost back comments, present comments.
Okay. Well, I think that brings it to me. And since it comes to me, I can say, hey, Gray, welcome to the party. How are you tonight?
I'm good, thanks, Phil. How are you?
Hey, hi, Gray.
Hey, Gray.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Gray.
It's good to have you here, Gray. It's always fun.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Very cool. Yeah, I like this piece by Daniel DeCino as well. I think that it was very nicely written. I think there was a lot of great imagery throughout. And I know that's always my hang-up. Ah, imagery! Yeah. I know. I'm like the broken record. But I really did. I thought that he just did a really nice job with it. I thought his emotions throughout were well expressed. And he did a great job. So thank you, Dan, for that. Now, Gray, did you happen to hear the piece?
No, I didn't. I read it, though, and left a comment.
Okay. No problem. Let me go back here. And the next piece I have to put up is by Titus Llewellyn. So here we go. And this one here I found intriguing because this is a piece written to Dragon Sorceress. And gosh, you know, I miss her presence. She used to be great to have around the room. She's a real inspiration and a lot of fun, you know. So, yeah. I guess everything kind of comes to an end at one point or another. So let me put this on by Titus, and here we go.
Angel Muse, Dragon Sorceress. Deity Preserver, sadness, loss. A sole domain, my sanctuary has served replicas of a place worth knowing, reasons why I cannot be a reveler. Any judgment of reality, dare I say that word, dragon? You, Asteria, giant among poets, exorbitant to titans, both extremes, far reaching of which my obsession is that youthful remains in your memory. Oh, never have I wept so much. The fountain conjoins many tears in union. Somehow, the physicality of touching water brings the youthful springs, ostrous resin, a sorceress who shows there's an inevitable brevity also, residual muse, impassioned pleas of what use now am I to find her, coily calliope, pastoral polemia, failure, her thrift, became heroic, endearing traits. Melpomene and Erato, who reveal a trustful nature, renditions of a poet who portrays a longing aspect, and a reminder endeavors to have us keep of her such words that she would write, solves the problem most of the time, then reply with such comments, substantiate the part of now, to present us in keeping of our histories. Terpsichore, her vastness becomes an inescapable truce, a silent remit held bound by sounds of water. I cannot see for crying, and the truth evolved remains, whose chief excuser reaching out, suffering over thine. Pyrene, in name alone to pacify Euterpe, she hardens to any mishap. Utterous deposits are washed clearly as our diaphanous sprinkling woo, except that Melpomene, whose tragedy it was to see her go, no excuse to keep my angel muse. I'll go in soul search now for a real life exhibit.
Wow. What a phenomenal piece. What a great tribute to the loving poet. Rex, could you start, please?
Sure. It walks like an ode, my sadness at Laurie's leaving, obviously, to start with. But the thought of marrying her up with that which she did love and treat, the thought of witchcraft, the dragon sorceress angle, the her love of unicorns and other fairy tales and stories that she was so adept at playing to her muse with. It hits on those notes of dropping her into that angle of mythology along with everything else he's written within this, because it kind of hits on that note of something ancient itself. You look at the language he's written with it within his, you've got Goliath in here, Polyhymnia, Thalia, not to mention the thought of using Terpsichore and other rich notes in verbiage that kind of give you a notation to the idea of what he truly thought of and still does think of Laurie as that which someone who is missed, and maybe the thought of the idea of in putting it within that sort of melting into the idea of being that spring that ever bleeds effusive and fertile.
Well said, Rex. Thank you so much. Rex, could you, excuse me, Greg, could you comment, please?
I'm sorry, did you say me?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I thought it was wonderfully read and just a powerful piece altogether from start to finish. It's a beautiful job.
Thank you, Greg. And Naomi?
Oh, wow. This is, like, there's half of the words in here that I don't understand, but he just leaves me flabbergasted every time I hear his voice, and he's like this amazing storyteller, right? And like he has so much richness to him, like culture and history, and it's just he brings us parts of he educates us every time we read something of his or hear something of his. So yeah, this is just another example of one of his amazing pieces. And he's saying farewell, eh, to somebody here. So, yeah, I'm going to get him to write a few notes of farewell to some people. Yeah, it's really, 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 wow, really a deep piece.
Yeah, I love the... His title, My Sadness of Laurie's Leaving. What's the title? No, Angel Muse, Dragon Sorceress, but basically the subtitle, My Sadness at Laurie's Leaving, is plainly said. Yet, as you mentioned, Naomi, the richness of his language and what he talks about is nothing simple. It's subtle, sophisticated, and it's from the heart. His line, "Oh, no, have I wept so much? The fountain conjoins many tears in union." It's beautifully done. As is the entire piece. Boy, he does a good job with these. Gene, you've read a number of these tributes. What do you think of this one?
I did. I thought this was another wonderful tribute to a wonderful poet. It was well written, as always, you know. Titus, you know, I don't think that he knows how to write a bad poem. And the audio for this was just as wonderful as all the rest. So I have to say thank you, Titus, for sharing that with us. I'm sure Lori would have loved to have heard that. And maybe she has somewhere down the line, but I'd like to believe that if she was back online, she would come and visit with us. Well done. Very well done. So, let me see. Naomi, I have one for you to read, if you don't mind. And, Gray, did you bring a piece?
No, but I can grab one.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Whenever you're ready, Naomi.
Okay. A monocle lens clarifies vision, where outside is in and inside is out, unveiling views with utmost precision, clouds overhead on circuitous routes, hints of periwinkle, clover through breeze, swirling around a dreamy illusion, as hair is tousled like leaves upon trees, linked together by magical fusion. Afternoon passing tranquil and lazy, while nearby pond rivers ripple on top. Peripheral shores, oftentimes hazy, when melodic echoes suddenly pop. Playful abandon mist tendrils that swirl, paw prints advancing from here over there, while new growth of fern seems to unfurl between zigzagging patterns of glare. A monocle lens clarifies visions where damsel appears with blossoms in bloom, extending range of life to envision, with magnified sight appearing to zoom. End poem.
Well done, Liam. Monocle lens clarifies vision. Monocles have been used in any number of movies for emphasis in a variety of ways, et cetera. But this is different. Here we have an interpretation of an image, and it's well done. I love the language. Into periwinkle, clover through breeze, swirling around a dreamy as hair is tossed as leaves upon trees together, magical fusion. There's also some very good rhyming going on in this. This is a dreamy aspect to it. Afternoon path, tranquil, easy. I think we've all been there. We recognize those moments. I think the poem does a great job taking that image and giving us a moment in time. Greg, comment, please.
I thought it was just a beautiful read and a fantastic write. Was layered and deep. Playful abandoned midst tendrils that swirl, paw prints advancing from here over there, while new growth of fern seems to unfurl between zigzag and patterns of the glare. Yeah, just an excellent write.
That was a fine comment, too, my friend. Thank you. Rex, a brief comment, please.
Sure. There's a kind of duality in this with that second line in where outside is in and inside is out. Because of the way it's painted, you get the thought of a fairy looking from the inside out and a girl looking from the outside in. The clarity with that monocle lens offers up the point of actually paying attention to your surroundings and breathing within the beauty that is offered, and that is the thought to a joyous day spent.
Absolutely correct. Very well. And Naomi, your take on this?
Yeah, there's beautiful imagery all through this, and it's like magical and soft, and the monocle, you know, it's like it's capturing all these little details of nature as she glares at it through the monocle, and it's just wonderfully written and very creative. And, I loved every line of it.
Oh, thank you very much, Naomi. And Jean, your opinion?
Well, I thought this was a great piece. I did. I thought it was just lovely, and I thought it was a great take on the prompt. When I looked at that piece, I didn't see a monocle. But I thought it was a clever conclusion to come to and to write to. And I think that it was just, you know, nicely done. And I enjoyed it. So thank you so much, Star Eyes 9. Nice. Okay. Now, Gray, I have one for you to read, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I appreciate it. By Jack Tomkovic.
Okay, this is Miss Dolly Does by Jack Tomkovic. Dolly Parton said, "Jump off the cross. Someone might use that wood. Wood for houses to live in, with pine stud walls and oak flooring. Houses to put in trees, with rope string, swings, and birds and windows. Firewood for winter warming, steps and decks, ramps and rungs. Marquetry, and all things handcrafted and true. If I were half the decent Miss Dolly does, COVID cures, fighting cancer, and for women in the workplace. In this chorus of cabbage, cacophony of crazy carnival chaos, we call life and death. Then I'd conquer poverty and push past hunger. She makes Glinda, the good witch, bless her, and boom."
Nice.
Well, that'd be great.
Nice.
Thank you. I wish, is the quote referred to the one in the beginning, "Jump off the cross, someone might use the wood"? It's a very almost tongue-in-cheek way to start the piece. I really appreciate Dolly Parton. For years, I didn't like her music, but I got to know more about her as a human being, and I really liked what I saw. She has a huge heart and pretty humble person, as is this poem. Referencing COVID, cancer, women in the marketplace. I love how she calls the chorus of cabbage, cacophony, crazy carnival chaos, as well as the rain. Of course, we call life death. That's a great gift in my mind. Of life. And it's the last stanza, I think, left the good witch. It is beautifully that little touch, bringing in another character we all know and can refer to immediately. This is a fine write. I really enjoyed it. Rex, could you start us off?
Sure. I did like there was a little tongue-in-cheek play with that opening stanza. It offers up that thought of don't martyr yourself to your cause. Stand up for your cause and do something with it rather than just pray to the thought of somebody else doing it. Do it yourself. That kind of hits that note, the wood for houses to live in, the thought of tree houses, ropes and swings, life, firewood for winter warming, steps, decks, ramps and rungs. There's a notion to feeding the family, so to speak, within that. I love that thought with the that one section you hit on, that the alliteration of that was well done, and it does paint the quite the thought of humanity a chorus of Cabbage Cacophony or Crazy Carnival of Chaos. That was I enjoyed that. And then the back end where she hits on the throat, she makes Glenda the Good Witch the Lesser, which is a nice touch of humor to finish out.
Thank you very much, Rex, for coming. And Naomi, please.
Yeah, I love how she took the quote, eh? Jump off the cross, summon night, use the wood. Yeah, get off your asses because yeah, and do something. Yeah, and the way she took wood after that, you know, and she went all the way down. And then she talks about, well, it makes me think of the movie that she starred in, 9 to 5, you know, where she plays a secretary in the movie. And she talks about, brings it into today with the COVID, and that she'll find a way for women to have a better place in the workplace and fighting cancer. And yeah, this was a great write, really creative and witty. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. So yeah, great write for Jack. Great lines in here.
Thank you, Naomi. And Gray, if you could comment, please.
Sure, I thought it was a wonderful write, you know, a bit tongue-in-cheeky, and I like that, you know. I really like that quote of, you know, somebody can use the wood, you know, and then she goes into the building it into the houses and all the rest of it. So just wonderfully done.
Thank you, Greg. And in your turn.
Yeah, I think this was a great poem, and thank you, Jack, so much. You know, I think Dolly Parton's a wonderful person. She's a very giving person. That's just through seeing her throughout the years. But yeah, I like the quote at the beginning too. It's get off of the cross, and someone may use the word, like, stop being a martyr, show us what you can do, kind of thing. But I saw it. But I enjoyed it very much, Jack, and thanks for sharing that with us. As always, a great write. Absolutely. Okay, now let's see where I'm going next, because I don't know. Oh, I know where I'm going next. I'm going to read the next one, just to keep us in some kind of rotation here. And I'm coming to you guys. Rex, did you bring a piece? Because I'm coming your way soon.
No, but I can find one if you like.
That would be awesome. Awesome.
Okie dokie.
Okay, this piece is called Ode to Flower Dreams by Victoria Frost. Oh, to bask beneath the sun, unfurling leaves and petals to gather warmth, and await the aria of a bumblebee in flight, whose tongue might tickle their pistil as she feasts upon this nectar. Here, too, they dream as she rests, a pause upon their petals, her fuzzy legs gathering their amber pollen while she dances in the delight of her feast, leaving her own dusting upon the anthers. And with a buzz, the bee begins ghosting once more, lighting off from the flower's face, so they may bask, feeding upon the golden rays, swaying gently upon the breeze, dreaming of gentle spring showers and honeybees and foam. Laurent, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm babbling away on mute. So proud of the fact that I actually put something decent. Let me see if I can reconstruct here. Bring it all together. Okay. What would a flower dream of but a bumblebee, or any bee for that matter, whose tongue might tickle as bee feasts upon their sweet nectar? I love the way Victoria described the bumblebee, the aria of a bumblebee in flight, the song of the bumblebee in flight, in a dream that she rests a paws upon their petals. The whole visual aspect of the bee landing, gathering the nectar, and then begins to sing once more as she flies off to the next one. It's a beautiful way of describing the flight of the bee as a song. And it's a beautiful way of showing what indeed flowers may dream of. Certainly not the worst. Greg, could you start us off, please?
Yeah, I thought it was just wonderful, right? The relationship between the bee and the flower, you know, the personification therein as well. Just excellently crafted poem.
Indeed. And Naomi?
Yeah, this is, like, beautiful and airy. And, yeah, it's like a dance between the bumblebee and the flower. And it's just like magic. It just flows, you know, gently like a breeze. The breeze and the butterfly's wing and the sway of the flowers. It's just lovely all the way through. So, yeah, I really, really enjoyed this.
Thank you, Naomi. And Rex, please.
Sure. It's got a nice classical feel to the sort of watching something in nature and then giving it voice through ink to page. And it also has a nice sensual undertone that walks very subtly through it, but it's there. It holds itself as a nice touch to that which is done between the bee itself and the flower. From passage to passage, flower to flower, there is that nice teasing sense of sensuality born within that that rustling of dust as well as the petals. But that's how the sort of pollinization works, and it hits well within this piece itself.
Indeed. Thank you, Rex. Great comment. And Jean, how about you? Don't imitate my mute button activity, though.
At least you're not alone. I thought it was a beautiful piece and a great reflection of the prompt. I thought it was a wonderful work. I enjoyed, you know, her walking us through the journey of that bumblebee and the flower. And it was just, I just thought it was beautifully done. Great brevity, as a matter of fact, so... Thank you, Victoria. I really enjoyed that one very much. They were such great images on Tuesday. Absolutely. I loved them all. So they brought a lot of really good work throughout. So. Okay. Here we go. Okay, Laura, you are up next.
Okay. And here we go. This is called What a Figure. Silver myth rises from the beach of lost days. Bubbles pop like periwinkle pearls. Froth of an open bay framed its full cliffs of scarred stone, articulates its ears. Tongue kisses hand and lid, carved beyond the temporal majestic. Into whatever the eye fancies. I see dragons beat the air, but I'm not burning. Gondolf, rude, old man, fishing at sea. Angels can glide, consorting with clouds. David, marrying Venus. Face of an ancient bulldog, scar. White whale, in the blue swell. Neither god nor devil hangs from these mighty walls. That warring duo have their own venues, each suited to take. Lost days lie within pages of imagination. A small rectangle, easily transported, placed safe beneath my capital. I plunge at the page, unclothed, orbiting a man's breath across the bay. Rising clear and from blue-green waters, before diving into the swirling mists of concepting old book, internet requirements, and poem.
Well, nice piece, Laurent. Let me see now. Rex, you want to start us off?
Sure. I like the opening here. Silvered mist rises from beach lost days. Bubbles pop like periwinkle pearls. Froth of an open bay framed by tall cliffs of scarred stone that articulate the cheers. There's that kind of notation of looking back in time to that which was, or remembering that the tongue kissed by sand and wind. Also, again, the taste and value within those, the vision that you hit on. But that third stanza kind of hits the notation without before you get to the back end of this. I see dragons, Jeanne d'Arc, Gandalf, old man fishing at sea. The whole thought to a library of imaginative venues. The old man, I think the old man in the sea at that point, Gandalf, the rings, Jeanne d'Arc, and dragons, all something that comes with imagination. Then you hit on the sort of God, the devil hangs from these mighty walls, because there is no reason for them to invade this temporal realm, because that's for something else. Now, the back end of this, you hit on that conception called a book, internet not required. There's that value of actually picking up something tangible, something you can hold in your hands, the thought of turning page and smelling that touch of noted, whether it be an age or new, it doesn't really matter. And then the thought of life breathing its own from those pages, because you're so into the read itself that it brings forth those visions of that white whale, or the dragon breathing fire, or anything else that you mull into as a matter of escape from that daily beast called the internet, which is never ending and all inclusive, to marry one's mind into mashed potatoes without the pleasure of butter.
That was funny. That was good. Nice comment there, my friend.
Thank you. Gray, how about you, hon?
Yeah, I really liked it. You know, you did a fantastic read on your SoundCloud. I mean, sorry, you did a fantastic read of this poem. And I really like the journey that you take us on through your write, you know, exploring this world of the book. Just a wonderful piece.
Thank you, Greg.
Absolutely.
You bet.
And Laurent, I thought this was really well expressed. It was the joy of books revisited, you know, things as you were reading. You know, just... I mean, that's almost a lost art now. You know, not everybody reads. They read on the screen. They don't read in a book. And there's really nothing quite like it. And I thought it was just a really, really well done and well presented piece. So nice work. And thanks for sharing with us all. Yes, yes, yes. And sadly, we lost Naomi. Her cat was driving her crazy. Mm-hmm. No catnip for him or her. That's what I got. Okay. So let me figure out what I'm doing. I'm doing that. Okay. Okay, Rex. I have your piece up next. And whenever you're ready.
Oh, okay. Marsupial cleft and risen tear. Iwanchu, Iwanchu, Kia, Kia, a sound to hear in varying tones found. Marsupial cleft, ripe with risen tear. Imploring words are drawn from tip of spear, where moans and groans come hand, tightly bound. Iwanchu, Iwanchu, Kia, Kia. My whispering sea once through falling clear, as your quivering lip now unwound. Marsupial cleft, ripe with risen tear. Shh, your sweet sufferings, behold, my dear, But there comes elixir from those lips round. He wants you. He wants you. Here, here. Your heat is exponential. You're not fear. That's it. You let your volcano expound. Marsupial cleft, ripe with your fear. That song now sung from your lovely lung beer. Heaven's wrought frenzy is clearly inbound. You want you. You want you. Here, here. Marsupial cleft, ripe with risen tear. And pump.
That was very special. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. You think, I want you, and make it, I want you, Kia, Kia. Which is confusing the hell. My parents are Kia. All right. Taking that sound.
Kia is a shortened. If you look at it as, a role-playing game where there's a gag involved, he wants you, he wants you. Kia, Kia comes as, I want you, come here, come here.
Ah, all right. Nicely done there. Your language, as ever, soars. Imploring words are drawn from tip of spear, where moans and groans come from hands tightly bound, by whispering sea one's tree flowing clear, as your quivering lily now unwound. That the lines with the Marsupial cleft are exceptionally well. As ever, you write beautifully, did abstractly, which is always in your pivot. Let's see. Naomi is dying. That is unfortunate. Greg, could you comment, please?
Yeah, I really like your play on words. You know, you can feel the longing and the desire in this piece. It was well read and fabulous piece, Rex.
Thank you, Gray.
Thank you, Gray. Thank you, please.
Well, folks, I thought this was great. I'm listening to it and I'm going, okay. I mean, like, marsupial cleft and risen tear. But I definitely was following along with everything else. I just left the marsupial thing behind. I wasn't going there because I knew better. But I want you was just very clear and very understood throughout. And I thought that made it clever. You know, it was clever wording and clever thoughts. So nice job. Nice job all the way around.
Thank you, God.
You're welcome. Thanks for sharing with us. Okay. Always typing. That's me, always typing. Okay, so let me go back and look here. And although Naomi left us, she did give us a sound clip. So, and here we go. Naomi's there. Okay, and I'm going to hit that button.
Red raincoat, pink rubber boots, squiggles and squeals, and shovel scoops, your giggles and laughter make a wonderful world. Your little hands clutching your bucket as castles pile up, sweet sandy buttercup, and your wide bright smile makes a beautiful world. And you run into my arms, smelling of cinnamon toast and cocoa, eyes all alight with tales of delight, tiny fingers entwined with mine, and my soul uplifts and soars as I smile too. Oh, I love you, clouds of caramel, soft cashmere too, drift through denim blue over me and and you, and my heart just sings. What a wonderful world. As you smile up at me, putting magic in my world.
That was love. That was special. That was the reason people have children, I think. Among others, the smile on that child's face, the laughter, the body posture, all speak to joy, to a magic moment when all is right in that child's world, and we can watch the giggles and laughter and the wonderful world that is created by those little hands clutching her bucket as castles pile up, sweet sandy buttercup, and your wide, bright smile makes a beautiful world. Something about that stanza that is so powerful. The language is the language of every day, without trying to be difficult, but is used in a subtle and wonderful way to delight us and communicate even more closely with the child in that image. Just a wonderful, wonderful poem. And even though she uses the music from What a Wonderful World, she really makes it her own. It's astonishing how good it was. Congratulations, Naomi. What a fine, fine work this was. Greg, could you comment, please?
I thought it was a beautiful tribute to her lovely granddaughter there and the joy that she brings into her life. Just a magical piece throughout. Excellent job, Naomi. Great singing as well.
Yeah, she did a great job with that. Monsieur Rex.
I agree with both you and Gray, and the fact that she ran it through Satchmo's old song, complete with the kind of intonation that ran through his voice, running through this piece itself, sets it very nicely, along with those little juicy tidbits. I mean, smelling of cinnamon toast and cocoa, clouds of caramel, a soft cashmere too. There's some great thoughts to coming off of that picture. Just especially hits on that note with the bucket as well.
Thank you, Rex. Great comment. Gene, I got to admit, this made me a little misty-eyed. How about you? Gene Marina,
wow.
Press the mute button.
I'm here. I have to say I really loved it. The whole time I was listening to her sing, and I'm pretty sure that that's her granddaughter in the image, I could feel that sense that I get when I think of my grandson. And, you know, it's just a wonderful feeling. And I think she did a great job with the parody. And I think she did a nice job singing it. I really do. I thought it was sweet all the way around. So excellent job, Naomi. And it's a shame you weren't here to receive the comments. But, you know.
She's on the board.
There you go. There you go. Get that kitty cat. Lock him in the closet. I'm only kidding. Only kidding. I don't mean to be so mean. Let him take your moment. But yeah, really, I really enjoyed that very much. Okay, so I am with Gray. Let me find it. Okay, Gray, I got it. All ready for this? Yeah, here we go. Woohoo!
Okay, this is based on a song prompt called by Moody Blues called Nights in White Satin. Days spent just chatting from beginning to end. Our minds were smitten, two hearts we can mend. lovers on high we kissed. Oh, how we soar, flying in wild bliss. We rolled on the floor. Your heart is true, voice that is smooth. Oh, God, it's so smooth. Before the steeple, put my ring on your hand. I am so happy, I could do a handstand. Don't buy and sell me, and all the money to spend. Just really love me, and be my best friend. Monkey blue, heart that is true, voice that is smooth. Oh God, it's so smooth. We spent just chatting from beginning to end. Our minds were smitten, two hearts we can mend. Lovers on high we kissed, oh how we soar, flying in wild bliss, we rolled on the floor. Simply I love you, your heart is true, voice that is smooth. Oh God, it's so smooth. Simply I love you, your heart is true, voice that is smooth. Oh God, it's so smooth. And boom.
Encore, encore, viva.
Yeah, that was a wonderful job, Greg. I remember this particular piece with pleasure. You did a great job in the parody. And you expressed your love so eloquently and simply and strongly. The divine beat interpretation of the song.
Amen.
The love in your voice is palpable. Great piece.
Thanks, Lord. You did the original tune just right. You hung to the outline and pace of the song, and you worked in your view of that song with this. And it's a great piece. I love it. The Monkey Blue was a nice touch. It is kind of a sensual note to a playful tone to offering that up as a nickname, so to speak. And I agree that you did a great job with this as the song itself. And definitely, it does need an encore of a ring.
We got to push it on
SoundCloud. Yeah,
I agree. Well, Jean Marie, you're coming.
I love this, Gray. I loved it the first time I heard it, and I loved it just as much this time around. I think the fact that you just picked up and just sang it, without even batting an eye, it's not like it's a recording, we played it. I mean, you did a great job, and I remember you singing it last time, and you did a wonderful job then, too. I really liked it. I really did. And I have to agree with Rex, and I have to agree with Laurent. I mean, just nice work. Nice work. So,
thank you, Bill.
Thanks for sharing
appreciate
that.
You bet. Thank you, everyone.
I appreciate it. Absolutely. Okay. Now, Laurent, I have one for you.
Graham.
This is our late night poem. So, whenever you're ready.
All right. Both Orchid Moments by Eden Bread. He had brought moments with orchid rare, its petals and sepals, live salmon, orchid effusion, male, female organ, waxed tube, his column, trails her tongue full length, licking the bulb at the end, rolling it. If it's night, touch the describing it roundly. A pure drip falls slowly, and pressing with her lips, depressing, funny trumpet mouth, a rosebud tightly opening, slowly devouring him with teeth, gently scraping, offering peace, his wand, his long bent corrupt branch, which leans on the horizon of his mind, a bough with no branch, tight skinned and sensuous, tip of scream chain, up by a cold, cowling, reared up angry as if to strike. And he, keen, rocking, feeling it full term, the fully exposed, deep, rounded plant, raw and glowing, and radish. Bengal rose, streaming the splendor, orchid's labellum, he moaning under breath, searching for death, with a tidal wave forming, and he desperately surfed, carrying his pleasure on like huge waves. Can he hold it to the shore, her mouth wet as the ocean, now set with a single motion, releasing its charge, setting the orchid free. Well, that's sensuous. Well, yeah, artist action. All right. All right. Give me a crawl.
Cool. Carefully thought and writ. Not to mention the very satisfying and pleasurable thoughts to the metaphors used and the angle played with that. Because it works well off the thought to an orchid and just kind of dangling those little tidbits here and there to actually make sure one gets the gist of the angle drawn upon. It's great. The thought through her open teeth, faintly scraping, honoring his teeth, his wand, his long bent garage wrench. That's a hell of an angle there. Kind of heavy note to involvement, sensuous tip with an ice cream cherry, covered by a cobra's cunning cowling. Again, a nicely drawn thought to the reality shared. Reared up angry as if to strike, and he feeling the sensitivity keenly rocking. And then the thought for everything else that runs through this. It's actually quite the intense bit of sensuality drawn on from a flower's perch, so to speak.
Couldn't agree more. And I've got to say, this is one of the most sensual pieces I've ever read. It's just exceptionally good. Ray, please.
Yeah, you know, it's metaphorically rich and filled with incredible imagery. Just a fantastic poem throughout.
Thank you, Ray. Dean, I couldn't help but notice in your comment that you described it as a bit of extreme imagery.
Yes, there was a lot of descriptive imagery. Yes, there was, all throughout the entire thing. And I thought it was nicely done. It was a well-done piece, and it was nice to have it in the contest. It was surprising. I was not familiar with Edinburgh. It was a nice change, definitely in the contest. One of the, you know, it was a great piece and enjoyable. It was extreme imagery. You know, and I have to agree with all three of you. Gray, you know, I agree with you. It was metaphorically rich. There's a lot of stuff going on in this poem. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's why I called it the leaf. Yep.
Yes, writ large in the emotion that unveiled.
Yes. Yeah, something like that. But it was so good. I mean, I have to give this fellow credit. He did a great job with it. So, yeah. Nice work.
Absolutely. Makes me want to go out and buy an orchid.
Well, then, if you've got what, if, what you want to do, I mean, more power to you. I don't know. Okay, so I'm going to be good now and be quiet. Okay,
like
Rex, can I get you? What'd you say?
Then I like your orchid.
You like my orchid? Yes. It's like orchids in general. Are you kidding? Sorry, couldn't help myself. It was just, she just left it wide open for that. Okay. Right? If you don't mind, I'll put the next one up for you.
Okay, sure. This is called Like Brass Butterflies by Ron Chambers. Like brass butterflies, honeybees, and mistletoe, some knit as glass like snow, some like an unstitched garment, falling like buttons on a blouse and foam.
Nice job. Nice job.
That was well read, Greg.
Thank you.
Brass butterfly. I'm absorbing the image of a brass butterfly, of honeybees and mistletoe. I mean, to quote this thing, might as well just read the whole thing. Some knit is glass like snow. Oh, I like the falling. I like falling like buttons on a blouse. That's a very nice image. You have to think about the things that hold together, I guess. Things that we found that we find life more beautiful, and sometimes their equivalents. It is a moose from honeybees and snow, the knit is glass. One phrase, again, for excellent fishing. Okay, right.
Sure. Well, I think the brass butterflies kind of hit on the same thing as that last line, but like falling like buttons on a blouse. There's a notation of some knit as glass like snow. There's the a wispy veiled shirt, and some like an unstitched garment that kind of gives an image of that which falls off easily and falling like buttons on a blouse. There's kind of a notation, especially with the honeybees and mistletoe, there's something sweet, the mistletoe, the being that which you stand under for a kiss. So it gives that off that nice little richness of around Christmas time, the that which you might engage in on cold winter evenings.
Thank you, fine cop. And Jean Marie, your take this?
You know, I thought this was clever and thought-provoking. The imagery in here was pretty pretty clever, you know. You know, I wasn't too sure where it was going at first, like brass butterflies, honeybees, and mistletoe. Some knit as glass, like snow. Some like an unstitched garment falling like buttons on a blouse. You know, I mean, I guess it's the unfolding of or the unfurling. You know, that could be wrong. Brass butterflies don't fly. Honeybees and mistletoe, well, you know, I don't know. I don't envision those two in the same place at the same time. But some knit as glass, like snow. I don't know. I thought it was intriguing, definitely. So nice work, Ron. And thanks for sharing with us. Absolutely. Now, Rex, back to you.
Yes.
So I had a brevity that short on the board at all tonight. Well, that's not it. Hang on a second. Let's go back. Don't tell anybody. Oh, that's right. That was the one I wanted. Durr. Okay. Whenever you're ready, Rex.
Cool. The Disclosure by Budo. A tapestry of elements emboss the furry bosom in resonating fashion of said precocious bumble, whose flittering hijinks spitter and spatter and unravel ribbon covered avian impressions onto fleshy canvas, a modal efficiency in flight as ciphered strands are transcribed within linen tendrils and placed hermetically into silicate substrate. The source code of genetic DNA splashed in helical sequence for ensuring generations to consider in a realm of historic quandary. End quote.
Gregory, I'm wondering if this isn't a... I'm wondering if this is an advantage that bees make in transmitting it to where they found the flowers they got the honey from. I've seen a couple of programs that it's pretty astounding the way they can transmit through that dance the location that they go to. And it's a marriage not only of the art of the poet, but of science. And to combine the two together is difficult, but he's done a wonderful job. For instance, the modal efficiency in flight, the ciphered strands are transcribed within linen tendrils. That's beautifully done. This is a fine beat. Gray, how about you?
You know, for the subject matter, it's really intense. It's, you know, the source code of genetic DNA splashed in helical sequence or insinuating ensuing generations to consider in a realm of euphoric quandary. Just an excellently expressed piece. Wonderful, right? Excellent read, Rex.
Thank you, Rex. And Rex, why don't you go ahead and give it a comment?
Yeah, there's that kind of tongue. This bee kind of is kind of left in an amber fusion world, like much like the thought through Jurassic World, and offering up that which is, was, and could be once more, once that DNA is extracted and given a civil draw out to explain that which it was. And I love what he did with the picture. You see the tendrils, the linen tendrils he wrote in there. It offers such a nice touch in playing out the DNA angle.
Thank you, Rex. Great comment. And Jean?
Oh, I thought this was another great piece for that contest on Tuesday. Just beautifully done, Budo, and I want to thank you for sharing that with us. Totally an intriguing and wonderful piece all the way around, so I liked it. Okay, guys, I have two poems left. I'm going to put the first one up. If you'll be so kind as to hang with me and finish out the second comment, I'd appreciate that. We're so close. So close. Okay, this piece is by Frank, and it's called Psycho. Back to that.
I am the creepy stranger that you fear at night, the central master of perverted pleasures. For I am the one that controls your mind, the dark eye that watches you now. I can see you in the shower as you undress before me. I know that you are all alone and vulnerable at my mercy. I can hear the drops of the pouring water of the shower plunging your naked body entirely and slowly afterwards. You close the curtains, unaware of my menacing presence, unaware that tonight is the dreaded hour of your death. Can you hear my deep breath as my footsteps approach you? Some two wicked sharp blade on my penetrating knife I hold. Diversion and the uncontrollable rage of a divine city's insanity. bitter screams are muted by the slicing slashes of my knife. Within the thick pools of blood lay your motionless body. Some have deemed me crazy for the madness of a psychopath, but I am much more than any mere episode of a nightmare, for I am the seductor of sin and the reaper of temptation. The lingering fear that never seems to go away in the end. You see, I enjoy this macabre pleasure, for I am a psycho.
Well, I gotta say, that startled the holy crap out of me. Man, I jumped into his own pipe chair, I swear to God. He does a great job of being someone else. Honestly, he did one the other night, and then this one, where it did not sound like him at all. This one sounded like him a little bit, but the previous one, oh my God, I thought it was someone entirely different. He doesn't have a real talent for that, and I thought this is a very interesting and enjoyable and Barbara look at his interpretation of a movie that I'm seriously proud of never having seen. Although I know all about Brett.
Sorry, did you say me?
Brett.
Oh, by the title, you get an impression, but you don't get the impression of what it really is until the second stanza. So I like that thought. The officer, I am the creepy stranger that you fear at night, the sensual master of perverted pleasures, for I am that one that controls your mind, the dark eyes that watches you now. Then he gets into, I can see you in the shower, and then I know exactly where he's going, Norman Bates. I said, yeah. And he does a nice turn of playing out that Norman Bates with the soft voice that he offered up, and just the angle that he played out of matching that shower scene done well, and wasn't quite expecting the full-on bloated laugh at the end, which gives rise to the sheer lunacy of Norman Bates himself, but it fits the tonal angle of going all quiet, almost just a liquid presence in the moment throughout the whole piece, and then to just offer up that tidbit of loudness at the end to bring a nice closing moment to the madness of who and what Norman was.
Any comment there, my friend? Not to criticize, there was one pause between stanzas and about the middle of the poem I thought was unusual. The danger of losing some of the impetus of the poem, but really the minor thing. Greg, how did you like this?
Well, I thought it was an epic performance. Fantastic write and just beautifully crafted. Great job, Frank.
Thank you, Greg. Mm-hmm. And Gene.
Well, I thought this was a great third piece and just in time for Halloween. You know, I don't know what he's going to do for Christmas. But he's definitely tuned in for the Halloween season. Absolutely. But well done. Well done, Frank. Write and read. So one piece left. If you all be so kind to hang in where I read it. I'd like to get it on board and have the comments for Sapphire Rose. So, here we go. Okay. This is called My Vow by Sapphire Rose. In the morning, if the sun refuses to shine, Hal will be there to guide you through the darkness. You, the love of my life, in the many years of being together, I have tested your love time and time again. If in the wee hours of the night you feel lost, hold on to me. It is for you these words I pen. to thank you for being my lover, my friend. As the seasons change, changes with it, I will be committed to the promises made. We stand together, joined in love, no matter the stumbling block in our way. You shower me with steadfast love every day. We bonded right from the start. You stirred emotions invisible to the average Joe. How can I thank you for being my partner in life? You illuminate my days. You are my warmth on the coldest of winter nights. You are my fantasy, my every heart's desire. I can only offer my fidelity and everlasting love for all eternity, for it has been and is my vow to you. And boom.
That was a great beat. A great poem. Wow. This is beautifully written. One stands out for me. One stands out. How can I thank you for being my partner in life? You illuminate my day. You are my warmth. I'm the coldest of winter nights. You are my fantasy. Every heart's desire. In the end, of course, charge is divine prayer. Much patience. Being the foundations, I think, and it is, because if you have those two, everything else will follow. But if you have everything else but those, it all falls apart. Ray, how did you enjoy this?
I really liked it, you know. Did a wonderful read, Bill. And, you know, the poem is such a beautiful, delicate, tender tribute to the love of her life, and I thought it was just beautifully expressed.
Thank you, Ray. And...
oh, I thought this was beautifully penned words of dedication and love to the love of her life. You know, she says this is what marriage means to her. And I think she did a fabulous job expressing that. Just lovely. Lovely to read, you know. And she did, yeah, it was just well penned. That's all I can say. Great job, Sapphire Rose, and thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'm sorry.
You guys did such a great job with that. I can only offer up one thing. It reminds me of a very beautiful song by Led Zeppelin, and it hits on that very first note, that very first line. If the sun refused to shine, I would still be loving you. When mountains crumble to the sea, they would still be you and me. And that's exactly what she's expressed in this piece itself.
You are the encyclopedia of not correct like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. I love that song, Rex. Great, great catch on that. I think when I was reading it, it just rolled past my brain, but definitely well said. And with that, we cleared the board. Thank you for hanging out, guys. I appreciate your time. Naomi, thanks for hanging with us. Always appreciated. Thomas, you were missed. Just saying. But what a nice night of poetry. There's some really great pieces on the board. Yes, there were. And I loved every one of them. So it was a good night. It was a good night. But here for a while, I thought, Laurent, want to be all by our little selves. That would have been crazy. Yeah, he'd have been ready to choke me to death before it was over.
Turn up the heat, my dear. I was going to turn up the heat, and all of a sudden people would come to listen to that.
Oh, that would have been just Ducky. Then I would have definitely killed him. Yeah, wouldn't have to worry about him killing me. But anyhow, it was a great night, and I appreciate it. Ray, thanks for sharing with us and joining us. And Rex, I appreciate you calling in. And Laurent, thanks for calling.
Yes.
And we'll have to do this again maybe next week. What do you think?
I think that's a very good idea.
Yeah, it's an idea. I don't know if
it's a good idea.
Okay, guys. Well, love you so much, and you all take care of yourselves. You know, see if I can't get my act together a little bit more next week. Every week's a new challenge. But, yeah, I'll talk to you all soon. Thank you so much.
Good night, all.
Good night, everybody.
Good night,
good night everyone. Much love.
Right.